time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Pelicans getting back in action. The other half, of course, I mean, the fact that you have a pretty big one in women's college basketball. We got a ton to get into here as well. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation on the Ruderman caller hotline and guest line. 800-998-1003. Buddy will take your phone calls over in the LaRose studios, so we definitely look forward to hearing from you today on the show. As we mentioned, got a lot to get into. Got Pels basketball, LSU, Iowa. It is a national championship rematch. As you can imagine, everyone's excited and ready for that. We will get into that. That's this evening as well. That's 6. Pels at 7. Plus, we do have the Final Four now set for the men. The final two teams will be tonight. USC, UConn after LSU and Iowa. It's just as good. I tell you what, women's hoops right now, pretty good. I'm going to get into that here in a quick second as it is our lead. Give you the guest rundown here as we have Madeline Adams coming up at 12:15. She is covering LSU for Fox 8, so she will join us at 12:15. At 12:30, Jake Madison. He will preview tonight's game against the Phoenix Suns, and I want to get his takes as to what he thinks through the first three games for the Pelicans and what they have done in the first three games of the six-game homestand. So we'll touch on that. Nick Colling from NOLA Gold will preview this week's game for the Gold, as he does each and every Monday at 12:45. Rafael Esparza, 115. Let's get the early numbers and how Vegas is looking at the Final Four. And also tonight, as to the two games in women's basketball, Jack Benjamin will help us break that down a little bit more as well and kind of get the overview as to the Final Four, what this weekend was sort of like. Marlon Fayright, 215. Leo Haggerty at 230. So all of that and more is on deck as we get you started, as Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. NoWakeOutfitters.com is the way to go. Check them out over online and get all of the information you got there. So let's get off and running.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
As we mentioned, it is a huge game for the Pelicans taking on the Phoenix Suns. That is not the lead today. No, sir. It is women's college basketball.
Get your popcorn ready. Iowa LSU, the rematch is happening. The Hawkeyes take down Colorado. 89-68, the final.
Got to tell you, watched a good amount of that game, especially on the end part of it, and in the second half, that is. And, man, it was back and forth between the Tigers and the Bruins, UCLA, and then LSU just made some big shots. Flo J. Johnson, I saw Nick Underhill of New Orleans that football tweet. This is her team. I was texting people left. She's the best player on the floor. And there were a lot of good players, but I don't know. What do you think, Tiger fans? I think Flo Shea's the best player for LSU. She can get to the basket, can shoot from outside so quick defensively, all of that and more. And I love it. Right afterwards, she was asked about facing Caitlin Clark.
I want to compete at the highest level. Right now, Caitlin is the highest level, so if I can defend her, try to contain her, and get the win, we'll be fine. There's no stopping her, but containing her, I'm going to take on that challenge.
As far as Caitlin Clark goes, Iowa got the win as well in order to set up this rematch. And she had this to say about facing LSU.
I think we're excited. I think, you know, anytime you have a chance to go up against somebody you lost to, it brings a little more energy. But at this point in the tournament, every single team is good, whether you're playing West Virginia, whether you're playing Colorado, or whether you're playing LSU. You prep the exact same way. You come in with the same exact mindset. And I think overall, it's just going to be a really great game for women's basketball. And they're really solid 1 through 5.
Caitlin Clark had 29 points, 6 rebounds, 15 assists as well. As I mentioned with FloJ Johnson, she had 24 points, 12 rebounds. As LSU won 78-69, Caitlin and the Hawkeyes won 89-68, setting up this rematch. And one of the things that stood out as well was just both those teams really kind of were making plays there late. Iowa's had a bit easier kind of go to it, and I only say that in terms of the teams that they played. But going into that game, one of the headlines for Iowa was Caitlin Clark's got to step it up. She's got to start playing like the Caitlin Clark we kind of all look at and expect. And that's something that's interesting. I heard Andrea Carter, women's basketball college analyst for ESPN this morning on Unsportsman, like kind of bring this up too. And Ryan Rucco, who's going to have the call, that, you know, last year, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but didn't it seem like the whole LSU-Iowa thing, which drew 9 million views, I mean, it was huge, but it kind of, I say sneak up on people. It'd be nice to see the Tigers make a run. Even Kim Mulkey said, you know, they were ahead of schedule. I don't think anybody predicted that LSU was going to be in a national championship game or in contention or anything from that nature. Iowa, kind of the same thing. Like, we kind of saw this player, man, look at the threes, Steph Curry-like, look at all this. And then the Caitlin Clark thing kind of grew as the tournament went. And then you had that game. You had that you can't see me. That took off, all of that and more. Then you had this whole season getting ready for that as well. And what I think is remarkable is you have pressure from both ends, right? I mean, LSU is the defending national champion, the two times they played South Carolina. Gamecocks look for real. They're in the Final Four already. So when you look at the landscape of women's basketball, you see a lot more better players, better teams. I mean, look, as I mentioned, not only do you have LSU and Iowa tonight, but the nightcap is UConn and USC. And, I mean, they got a dynamic player as well. UConn's got one of the best players. Women's basketball is something else for now. And the reason I bring that up is because it's something we've talked about when it comes to the men. This morning, listening to all of the talk and listening to all the players and getting hyped up for it, this is what we were talking about last week. This is what I was talking about when I played Christian Laettner last week, talking about Duke and NIL and one and dones and all this and that. And look, I know there's differing opinions about should players get money, should they transfer, should do all this. College basketball is missing this. This isn't arguable. You cannot argue with me while the Final Four and the games over the weekend were fun to watch. We're watching because the games were fun to watch. How many know the players on Alabama? Even the guy that shot six threes in a row, right? You don't have the rivalry aspect. Because LSU and Iowa are meeting again. Caitlin Clark's still there. Angel Reese is still there. OJ Johnson's still there. Kim Mulkey's still there. It's a rematch. In the Elite Eight, I brought it up last week. I remember when Duke and Kentucky played in the Sweet 16 on the Elite Eight or in the Final Four. Like, you couldn't wait for those matchups to go. And what's incredible is this, in the last couple of years, remember UConn and Gino Auriemma had a stranglehold on women's basketball? It's bad for the game. They won 100-something games. It's always just going to be them. Maybe somebody will give them game in the national championship game. But really, I remember Lisa Stockton, and when we spoke with her, I brought it up the day she announced her retirement last week, or 2 weeks ago. I said, I remember sitting down with you when UConn entered the American Athletic Conference, and I was like, well, you'll never win that conference again because they're going to win it every year. And she said it's going to make everybody better. Gino Auriemma said at the end of that streak, it's not bad for college basketball because everybody kept bringing it up. All they do is win. They're winning by 50 points, 60 points. Believe me, I've called the game where Tulane didn't get a single foul call in two games combined. Like that, like eight quarters. UConn never got called for a foul. Like, I'm sorry, they didn't get a free throw. Tulane didn't hit a free throw. They never went to the line. I didn't say they made or missed one. They never went to the free throw line in two games. I'm kidding you. I'm not kidding you. So I've been there and seen 10,000 people for UConn show up for the ladies. And now you're looking at across the SEC and you're seeing what South Carolina's done the last couple of years. LSU's now selling out the PMAC. They're back here in the Elite Eight. But as I mentioned, UConn, USC, Juju Johnson, I mean, she's a freshman. She's the next up-and-coming good player. UConn has a top player as well. But it's crazy. You're not just talking about UConn. You're talking about a whole bunch of different teams. So women's hoops pretty solid right now. And I think a lot of it is because of that. Stick around for a bit and do those things. Now, as for the game, who can win? What's the mindset? Caitlin Clark.
I came in with a sense of, you know, a calming presence and knowing I have people that have my back, and this is a game that I put a lot of time into, and I'm only promised, you know, 40 more minutes, so might as well go win it.
As for Angel Reese, how does she feel about facing Clark again?
Last year, the scouting report was just to contain her as best as we can and not let the surrounding players score as much as they could. So we're going to do the same thing again this year. I mean, she's scoring 30 when they win. She's scoring 30 when they lose. So it's a win-win-lose situation with it. So we're just going to have to not allow those other players to score.
One of the analysts that also is for NBA, but also WNBA as well, and women's basketball, Jhené Ogwumike, she brought up, hey, well, what if Iowa wins on this?
That would be a huge resume booster because everyone sees Iowa as the one seed. But really, in my opinion, they are the underdog. So if she's able to pull off this upset, the legend continues to grow. The only thing that she's missing is a national championship.
All right, so there you go. Her and Andrea Carter preview it a little bit more.
Starting with the reigning national championship LSU Tigers. I know they're the 3-seed, but we've got to start with them. And the first player I'm looking at is Angel Reese. One, she has to stay out of foul trouble. And two, she has to have an aggressive mindset on the offensive end. Relentless on the rebounds, strong with her post moves, and playing through contact. That's what Angel Reese has to do. My X factor is Flaje Johnson because of her ability to put pressure on the rim. Her downhill speed, her decision-making has been next level all tournament long, and she's been hitting big-time buckets. That's the X factor.
The reason the Tigers were able to survive that foul trouble by Angel Reese is because I've been saying it, it's the NCAA tournament, and the two A's stand for Angel and Anissa Morrow. Her 17 points were crucial, and they are a duo that average a double-double. She averages, Anissa, 16 and 10 on the year. So I say double-double. They truly are double-trouble.
Also, if we're really talking about it, Haley Van Lith has to come in prepared to hit shots.
Yes.
Michaela Williams, too, because Iowa might throw out some junk defense. You can't let that shake your confidence if you're on LSU's guards.
With all the amazing freshman performances, a lot of people think Michaela Williams has gone a little bit overlooked. She has been such a constant presence there for LSU. Let's talk about Iowa, who have, I feel like there's someone on their team that people talk about a lot, and she shoots a lot.
Maybe the greatest score ever that the college game has ever seen. And then we're talking about confidence. She wakes up like this. She wakes up a bucket. She goes to sleep a bucket. Now, the key here is, one, getting to the rim. That's what keeps defenses honest. She gives you 32 points. Last time out, 29. But more importantly, the X factor are the dimes. 15 assists that amounted in almost 70% of the offense, whether it is her scoring, Caitlin Clark, or her assisting.
I'm telling you, it's Caitlin Clark's teammates. They go as far as her teammates take her. Sydnia Falzer in that game against Colorado.
6 for 6.
Perfect from the field. If Kate Martin and Gabby Marshall are hitting threes and Hannah Stolke is running in transition, watch out.
There you go. So, like I said, I'm pumped. I can't wait to see this game take place. I legit mean it. I think there's as much excitement about the women's games right now and the different players and what they're able to do. And I'm excited. I can't wait for the 6 o'clock tip. So looking forward to joining Madeline Adams as she will give us the breakdown and what it was like to see the game back on Saturday. She is up next. Bottom of the hour, Jake Madison. It's a huge game for the Pels as they take on the Phoenix Suns. It's a big one. It's a big one. Zion Williamson.
I wouldn't say so. I would just more so say just that third quarter for us. That kind of was the game for us. We didn't come ready to play in the third quarter.
should have led at halftime. 11 points in the third quarter. Something to learn from the team that has the best record in the NBA. The first three games, OKC, they're first in the West heading into tonight's action. Milwaukee, second in the East. Boston, number one in the East. What do we learn from then? I'll ask Jake about that here as well. Up next, though, go to Dallas. Madeline Adams joins us next on ESPN New Orleans.
Fans. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 is our guest hotline and caller hotline. The Rooter Man caller hotline, 800-998-1003. Joining us on the Rooter Man guest hotline is Miss Madeline Adams at Madeline Adams TV. The way to follow over on X. She's up in Albany for tonight's massive Elite Eight game. LSU and Iowa. Madeline, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm doing good, Gus. How are you doing this afternoon?
Incredible. Walk the dog in the morning. It's always between 6:45, 7:30, and I listen to, you know, the national morning shows and everything. It's LSU, Iowa, all morning today. This afternoon, the afternoon national show host opened up with LSU, Iowa. Did you know it's a big game tonight?
Man, you know, it feels like the national championship game. I mean, the anticipation, the build-up for this matchup, it honestly feels like there's a national championship on the line tonight. I know, and it's only a trip to the Final Four, which is, like, you know, obviously still a huge accomplishment for whatever team makes it there, but this mm-hmm. game just feels like the national championship game, and obviously it's because these two teams played in the national championship last year. They, you know, broke the record for ratings when it comes to most watched women's college basketball game last year.
Right.
And just when you think about everything that this game has in it, I mean, it's literally the two biggest stars in the sport of women's college basketball right now. And that's Angel Reese with LSU and obviously Iowa's Caitlin Clark. And just kind of the competitiveness that those two have when they face off. They're very emotional players, and that's why people are just so entertained by watching both of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it feels like there's a national championship on the line tonight, and you just kind of wish that these two teams could have met up on the biggest stage in the Final Four, but you know what? It's going to be a great game regardless, whether they play here in Albany or Cleveland.
For perspective's sake, too, I was kind of mentioning it in the opening segment, Madeline, tonight's game between UConn and USC after LSU and Iowa. I mean, Juju Watkins is something else as a freshman for USC. They're a one seed. Paige with UConn. Buckers is one of the best players in the country as well. They're a three seed. Hey, you remember a time, right, when you first started covering sports and being at LSU, it was just UConn in women's basketball. That is not the case anymore, is it?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, look, and too, just to kind of give perspective on, I mean, obviously UConn and USC is a huge matchup too. Juju Watkins, like you mentioned it, and Paige Becker is two of the biggest stars in the sport as well. But just kind of looking, I mean, the tickets for tonight's LSU-Iowa game, I've seen tickets range anywhere from $120 to $2,500 for the best seat in the house. I mean, that's just insane for a game in the Elite Eight. It's not even the Final Four yet, like I said. And just for comparison, right, just to kind of prove that this LSU-Iowa game is kind of the main event tonight, for comparison, I think tickets, you can get tickets to that USC-UConn game for, you know, $15, $20. So, I mean, LSU-Iowa is for sure the main event.
Wow.
But, yeah, they are the game before USC-UConn. But, yeah, those are two programs. I mean, all four teams playing today are some of the top programs. And like you mentioned, it used to just always be UConn winning every year. It used to always just be Tennessee winning every year.
Yeah.
And you know, now it's kind of evolved to where, man, we have all these new stars and new programs that are rising. And you know, this women's NCAA tournament has been so fun to watch this year. It's been really entertaining.
Speaking with Madeline Adams from Fox 8, she's up there for tonight's game, but she was also there with the weekend to get there. LSU had to beat UCLA. They got a very talented team there as well. And,
yeah,
you know, at that third quarter ends, the Bruins win it 21-14 in that frame. And then in the fourth quarter, I feel like with that final four-minute, three-minute stretch, Flajay Johnson just was the best player on the floor. And, I mean, Nick Underhill from New Orleans, you know, football's like, this is her team. Hey, it was so many different people just tweeting about her performance for the Tigers to get in this game. Is she the best player for the Tigers going into tonight's game?
Without a doubt. Yeah, when you consider how impactful she has been offensively and defensively, and this really isn't, you know, just like Blaje Johnson has kind of just evolved into this player at the start of the NCAA tournament. She's been this impactful really all season. I mean, even entering, you know, that first round game against Rice, I kind of said the most important person for LSU throughout the NCAA tournament will be Blaje Johnson. Just because of what she brings defensively, she will probably guard Caitlin Clark majority of the game tonight. That is going to be her task tonight, and she's up for the challenge. And she's just been defending some of the opponent's top players all year and doing it well. And then when you add what she's able to do offensively, she led the team with 24 points against UCLA as well. I mean, she had some really big plays down the stretch of that game, especially when Angel Reese fouled out with about 30 seconds to go against UCLA. She was kind of the calming presence, the experienced player that's been in those moments before. She was a starter on last year's national championship game. Her experience, her leadership, even as a sophomore, has been so impactful for this LSU team. And again tonight, I think Blaje Johnson is the X factor for LSU. She is going to be the difference maker against Iowa.
What about the Hawkeyes? Because I saw going into this game, and again, I'm going to be truthful, I haven't watched their run nearly as you know, close as you watched LSU's. So I noticed, I thought it was interesting that some of the headlines was Caitlin Clark's got to start playing better. She hadn't been playing nearly as well as they want. I think the expectation level is incredible. But how is Iowa? Yeah. Are they a better team than last year?
Well, so they have three returning starters from that team last year where they played LSU in the national championship last year. I think they don't have the size that they had last year when they played LSU. When you think about Warnack and Sonano, who really gave LSU trouble inside last year in the national championship game, they don't have that kind of size this year compared to what they had last year. But, I mean, yeah, I think when people kind of talk about the expectation of Caitlin Clark, I think people turn on the TV and expect her to drop 50 points every game. That's hard to do in the NCAA tournament. And like she said, you know, once you get to this point, once you get to the Sweet 16, right, the Elite Eight, every team you face is tough, right? Every team you face has earned their spot to be here. But Caitlin Clark's still been phenomenal. I mean, she could, you know, knock down a triple from the logo every time if she attempted it. You know, she's just an incredible talent. She is just so fun to watch. And these two teams are kind of different, obviously, when you think about their strengths, LSU and Iowa. But, you know, yeah, this Iowa team, they did have an easier road to the Elite Eight, obviously, than LSU did. They I think, beat the last team they played by 21 points. I think they had a tougher time in the second round game, their last game, obviously Caitlin Clark's last game at her home arena over there in Iowa. They had a tougher game in their second round game than in the Sweet 16. So they're kind of coming into this game off a 21-point win. LSU kind of had to. It was a tougher battle against UCLA, like you mentioned, that third quarter. But obviously, LSU, I mean, their experience has proven really important in these, you know, games down the stretch where they are having to kind of battle it out in the fourth quarter. And so I think this is going to be a really fun game. I honestly think this, up to this point, and this might even have more anticipation than the national championship right game next weekend, just because of how much people are excited, not only for the game on the court, but just the stars they get to watch in this matchup.
You know, it's interesting, between us, you, national media, they're going to break down every matchup and all that. How much do you think the emotion of this game is going to be a factor here as well, right? Not even the X's and O's, just handling the emotion, not getting teed up, not getting some fouls early to get these players in foul trouble. I am curious how they're going to call this game.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, too, because if you remember the national championship last year, it felt like every starter was in foul trouble entering the second half. It was just they were calling such a tight game last year. So I'm interested to see how they're going to be calling that this year, and I think that's really important because when you talk about depth, I think LSU has a better roster overall, but they don't go as deep into their bench. They, you know, they really only play seven players every game. And then Iowa, you know, obviously, it will come down to just kind of controlling your emotions.
Yeah.
How, you know, tight the refs call this game. If they just kind of let them play, I think that favors LSU, honestly. And yeah, I mean, you talk about two players who really just feed off competitive energy. When you talk about Caitlin Clark and you talk about Angel Reese, there's been so much buildup about just how competitive those two are. Right. But honestly, like, they do respect each other. They, you know, they've been playing each other since AAU in high school, right? I mean, Angel played Caitlin Clark when she was at Maryland, continued to play Caitlin Clark, you know, when she was at LSU, obviously in the national championship game. So those are two players who have been linked since high school and been going at it and competing against each other. And I think both, with how experienced they are, they know how to control their emotions. It'll be everyone else on the court who, you know, yeah, you do have to keep those emotions in check. You have to make sure you don't get into foul trouble. Obviously, that played a difference in last year's game, and I'll be intrigued to see if it plays a difference in this year's game.
Yeah, you want to break the internet, start calling some quick fouls on any of those, especially those two players where they have to sit down in the first quarter. And people are like, what are you doing? Let them play. I'm with you. Like I said, I'm going to be at the arena for the Pels-Suns game, which is a massive game in its own right. But I know a lot of eyes around here in the state and in the country are going to be watching. I know you guys do the Pels as well. What do you – give me just one quick thought on the first three. What do you take from those first three games here in the six-game homestand?
Obviously, I mean, look, Oklahoma City and Boston, those two losses, I mean, they're tough losses, you know. But I do think that win over Milwaukee was really impressive because it's a time of year where you can't take back-to-back losses. There's just too much on the line. The Western Conference standings
it's
are
ridiculous.
Just razor thin. it's razor thin right now. So taking back-to-back losses is just like, it feels like it'd be paramount to the postseason and standings and kind of just the postseason implications. So that win over Milwaukee, I mean, again, Milwaukee's a tough team. They are a tough team. And so I think, you know, that has been really impressive. But obviously, I mean, you know, those two other games against the Thunder and the Celtics, those are kind of like feeling out, okay, where are we as we enter the postseason? Where do we kind of stand against some of the top teams? And look, I mean, even though they led Boston early in that game, I think every NBA fan can kind of agree that Boston is just the best team in the league right now. And I think they had taken back-to-back losses before they played the Pelicans. So they knew, too, like going into this game, they needed to get back in the win column. But I think, Gus, as I look at those first three games, what I'm most impressed with is the way that Zion Williamson has been playing.
I agree.
I think this team will go as far as Zion takes them. And I think the way he's playing right now, you can tell he is just so ready to play in the postseason and to make a difference with this team in the playoffs. And it's been really fun to see just his game evolve, not only, I mean, just, you know, in the last few weeks, but from the start of the season till now, just to see his game evolve, see the way he's just defending, you know, trying to take that charge on Giannis the other day. I mean, it was just really impressive. The effort is there. And I think Zion, as he has been the last four or five games, especially being a leading scorer, he will be the difference down the stretch in these last few weeks. It'll be interesting against Phoenix, obviously. That's going to be a game that has huge postseason implications as well. The Pelicans now in sixth, tied with Dallas. So, I mean, every game from here on out is going to be really important. I think the key is winning the next two or three. So we'll see what happens with the Pels.
Yeah, Dallas doesn't want to lose right now. The next game Fox 8 will have will be Pels at Phoenix. So another big one there as well. And then Golden State, that first of a back-to-back to end the season. They all matter. Only eight left, Madeline, if you can believe it. Hey, great job. Looking forward to the post-game coverage here as well. LSU, Iowa. Madeline's up there in Albany. Give her a follow at Madeline Adams TV over on X and, of course, Fox 8 tonight. Thank you so much, Madeline.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
For sure. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels next on ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
They upped their intensity and we didn't match it. And when we started to match it, the game was kind of out of hand at that point. But it just shows what type of team they are. A great team.
They're number one in the East, the Boston Celtics, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the first game of the six-game homestand. They're currently in first place of the West, and Milwaukee second in the East. Pels did beat Milwaukee, but are 1-2 to start this home stretch. For a little perspective, Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, joins us, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Gus.
So, if I'm a Pels fan today going into this massive game against Phoenix, and let's be honest, right? I think if you look at the six-game homestand, everyone would probably circle this one as the, you got to have this one in terms of the whole standings and stuff. In the meantime, Dallas hasn't lost. Everything's gotten bunched up a little bit more, but this one is as big. But before that, you look at the first three. What do you take away from the first three games?
You know, I think you're seeing a team that's imperfect but good, right? They've gone up against some of the top teams here in both the East and West. You mentioned it there, Boston being just a really good team. And for a while, they hung with Boston before the better team ended up winning out. And you can critique some of the things maybe from Willie Green during that game, some of the adjustments or lack thereof. But that's just losing to a team that has kind of run away with the NBA this season. Oklahoma City Thunder is a great team defensively and offensively too, and they gave New Orleans trouble, but New Orleans was kind of right in that game. So it shows that this team is good, but they're not one of those truly elite teams that wins these type of games consistently. And when we looked at the homestand, this shouldn't really have been any surprise. This was going to be a tough slate of games for New Orleans, and they have a big one tonight that really is going to be impactful in the standings.
I looked at the first three games, Jake, and go, OKC, you blew it. You had that one. You didn't score in the final 3 minutes. Zion didn't touch the ball. Those are things you could have controlled and helped yourself. You need to learn. Then they showed the bounce back ability and kind of did show they learned a little late in that game against Milwaukee. And I think to the point that you just said with Boston, that is a championship caliber title or go home place with a whole lot of players that have played a lot of basketball, finals, you name it. Drew's won a championship. Max players was, I mean, they're a different caliber and level. It's okay. So I kind of said this morning on my podcast, I'm like, I'm not freaking out because I think you can hang in there. And you didn't have B.I., you didn't have Jose, and they could have helped. So I'm okay. Tonight, let's see how you bounce back on it.
Yeah, I think you're definitely seeing a team that's missing Brandon Ingram, as he's kind of morphed into more of a playmaker role for this franchise over the past couple of weeks and playing some really good defense to boot with all of that. You look at that game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, they were missing him. They didn't score in the final 3 minutes. Having a guy that could run your offense then and kind of get you guys into your spots and make sure Zion Williamson got the ball, I think would be a really helpful thing. You know, in that third quarter against the Boston Celtics, when they scored just 11 points, having someone there who can be a scorer, can kind of get guys open shots, would have been a really good thing too, because you saw New Orleans kind of play right into the hands of that Boston defense and almost do what they wanted, but you had a difference maker like Brandon Ingram, and maybe it's a different story. And they did start to kind of get some momentum late in the fourth quarter of that game, particularly playing small with Zion Williamson at the center. If you had Brandon Ingram out there, could you have made more of a run? So they kind of look back on this and go, okay, the results are really not what we wanted at all. But there's some ways to kind of explain that rather than them just being bad. And then when you looked at this homestand, the first three games were the toughest. You know, the Phoenix Suns have been up and down. That's a winnable game. Orlando recently beat you, but that's a team you could beat that isn't in the same level as the Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks, and some of these other teams. Then the San Antonio Spurs are at the bottom of the Western Conference here. So it was really all about making up some ground and kind of mitigating the damage in these final three games than it would be for going out and winning the first three, I think.
I think the other thing, too, is you can't replicate experience, right, Jake, in anything, business, life, relationships, whatever. And I think what's valuable or invaluable, rather, is right now, especially these three games, you're getting a real-world test. It's not a simulation on the most important aspect of what may come if it can hold on and get that first-round series for sure. Jake, and that's how are teams going to defend Zion Williamson? Because we've seen walls, we've seen them forcing them away from the three-point line. Zion brought that up, that their offense, that's what Boston did. They started picking them up well beyond the three-point arc. Like, these are things that you can legit go and look at video and go, it's not going to get harder than this with these teams, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, the Pelicans are basically in the playoffs right now, and they need to start approaching it as such. And I think they have to a certain degree, less so to other degrees with it too, and I can get into that in a second here. You know, this is a team that you can't really be experimenting. You need to kind of be making adjustments and playing your best version of basketball, and that's how do you get Zion Williamson in space? How do you get him to the rim to be able to score? Look, Milwaukee just showed that at times he's unguardable. They have a lot of length in Giannis and Brook Lopez there, and he would just split those double teams and score at the rim, and there was nothing that, you know, anyone could do about it. But Boston took a different approach. As you mentioned, they were kind of running a full court press on him, just trying to make his life a little bit harder, maybe seeing if you could tire him out a little bit more too. They need to have counters for that, because once there's film on it and teams realize that works, you're going to see other teams do the same sort of thing. So this is where film session is really important, as you figure out how can we could potentially win a playoff series, because you know your opponent is going to be looking at these past 10 games for New Orleans as well and picking up on things that have worked. So they need to start kind of countering the counter, in a sense, already as they start to gear up towards all this. But that also probably means you need to run the correct rotation. And I think we wanted to see guys like Jordan Hawkins get minutes. Dyson Daniels just returned and got minutes in this game. But I think this is when you've got to run like 8 guys. You know, you're in danger. Potentially, they've got a little bit of a cushion of falling into the play-in tournament. You really can't risk things like that. So I want to see kind of just the playoff mentality for the Pelicans right now, including that rotation, which means guys that aren't going to contribute to winning aren't going to be playing.
All right, so help me out here, because speaking with Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, at Nola Jake on X, I know I'm not the only one when I get to postgame, and there's Coach, there's Zion, there's CJ, there's Trey. We became stagnant. Ball didn't move. There was no movement on offense. And I know I'm not the only one that yells, well, then pass the ball. So I'm sure it's easier said than done. So for all the Pels fans, they're going to call once we open up the phone lines here. Why do they become stagnant? How to fix that? And Jake, should Willie Green be more of a, if you see that after 2 straight possessions, I don't know, stomp, clap, yell, call a timeout, make sure that they pass, or I don't know, it's frustrating to constantly hear late March that they know what's stopping the offense and why they're not scoring and they're not passing it, but I don't know why they're not doing it. So can you explain?
Not really. You know, at times I think I look at this team, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, and it gets frustrating, right? Like, you know, go to that game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it's not as easy as just to say, right, like they didn't get Zion the ball and all of these other things. You know, part of that's by the defense's design, right? They're trying to scheme out Zion Williamson and make him a less impactful player. But you've got to have counters ready to go. You've got to have other things that you can do. And you see it at times from this team, but you don't see it consistently, and that's kind of the frustrating thing, I think. You know, if it's Zion Williamson and they're not getting him the ball, have him bring the ball up the court to make sure that you don't need someone to pass it to him. Just put it in his hands in the first place, and then that kind of solves the problem. And sometimes you just don't see enough of that, and that's something that could hold this team back when it comes to the postseason and, you know, winning a playoff series or not. But at this point in the year, it shouldn't be like, oh, the ball wasn't moving and we didn't know what to do. It means run actions, run some sets, right? This is a team that doesn't fully have an offensive identity yet. You know, they tried to kind of get away from point Zion because it wasn't replicable if he was injured. They wanted something that, okay, if Zion's out, we can at least kind of run the same thing. But if Zion's out and you run a point Zion offense, what do you do then? And that's kind of a problem here. So, you know, teams are going to try and take that away from you. You need to have other things, I think, ready to go. And it can't just be you get defensive stops and then scoring transition, which is where a lot of their offense has come this year. They're a very, very good transition team. They like to get out and run and turn defense into offense. But at a certain point, you need to score in the half court. And against some of these elite teams where you're not able to force the turnovers and get out and run, you got to score. And they've got to start to really, truly figure out ways to make that happen. And it's frustrating because there's a lot of offensive talent here, and it feels like they should be better than they are.
I think one of the things, too, is you have to move on and try to, I guess, show some of those lessons and learn on that. And then all of a sudden you have a game like tonight where Phoenix, after the game, our color analyst, John Shazer, said, here comes Chef Booker. He just cooks. He loves to play New Orleans. Sometimes matchups are those matchups. Look, tonight's massive. We all know that. How does this team try to limit what Devin Booker can do against them?
Look, I mean, it's Herb Jones, right? Yeah, that's a guy that's going to go out, and you need to slow him down. And this is a game where they're certainly going to miss Brandon Ingram, I think. One, because he can go shot to shot with some of these guys and be able to keep up the offense, but he's also been a good defender, too. And so you'd love to have his length, his size, and put that on a guy like Kevin Durant. And as much as we like Trey Murphy as a shooter, and he's okay in the starting lineup with New Orleans right now, he's not the defender that Brandon Ingram is. So you're missing that, too. And if you have to put Herb Jones on Devin Booker, and Devin Booker here, I think, is the bigger threat. He, as you mentioned, tends to go off against New Orleans. He had almost 50 points in 3 quarters last time they were here in town, I think. You know, that's something you need to try and limit, but it's going to mean a guy like Durant's going to be open, Bradley Beal's going to be open. So you need to find ways to just kind of limit their offense as much as possible, and that's a whole lot easier said than done, because as much as the Suns have been up and down this year, there's still a lot of front-end talent on that team.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens tonight. Look, you mentioned Orlando and San Antonio roundup this week. Wembanyama's playing out of his mind. And those people in San Antonio have no idea. Do they know they're last and only have 18 wins? Because they're not playing like it.
No, look, that's not even going to be the easiest game. Just because, again, length bothers this Pelicans team. And Wemby is about as lengthy as it gets in the NBA. And so that game, which you would kind of pencil in as a win, isn't guaranteed as much. So it's going to be a fight for the Pelicans until like the true end of this season, it feels like.
Jake, as always, appreciate the time, sir. See you at the arena tonight.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Gus.
Yep. At Nola Jake's, the way to follow Jake Madison over on X, Locked On Pels, the podcast. Nick Calling of the Nola Gold joins us. He didn't play this weekend. It was a bye weekend. 3-1 Nola, though. Get back at it this weekend in Chicago. We'll preview next on ESPN New Orleans.
One performance a day.
Let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Nick Calling, as always, appreciate the time you give us on Mondays to recap what the Gold did over the weekend in MLR and also preview the upcoming week here as well. We speak with Corey Brown, the head coach, on Wednesdays and Fridays before every home game. We'll be out there to Gold Mine on Airlines. I'll see you this Friday, Nick. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Doug?
Doing well. No game this weekend. You got Chicago coming up on Saturday, 3 o'clock. We'll get to that in a quick sec. But while y'all didn't play, everybody else played over in MLR. What stood out to you this weekend, man?
Yeah, it was another closely fought weekend. Of all the games, they were all within the most difference between the teams was 14 points. So everything was quite close. So it was another day in the MLR, not a lot of parity where any team can come out on top, and that's actually kind of what we saw against Chicago. Chicago played Seattle, and they began the game on a 26-0 run and then ended up losing because Seattle won 34-0 on a 34-0 run.
When you look at where this team is through 3-1, I know we touched on it a little bit last week. You had that kind of barometer game when you looked at, I guess, New England, and then going to Dallas and facing a team that scored a lot and getting that win on the road was kind of key for you guys. How do you look back at the first four games, the first quarter of the year?
Yeah, we have some confidence going into the bye week this past week. Everybody, you know, it's one of the organization's best start to a season, and everybody just kind of went in. It was a good timing, had some injuries that we're working through. They should be coming back pretty soon off of them, but just enjoying the time off and enjoying the time off with the head held high.
What would you say is the one area that I know Coach Corey Brown probably wants to continue to build on and work on?
Yeah, so I think it's been a theme. Besides the first game, the first game being against DC this year, it was a tale of two halves in which the first half was not as great as the second. But it's been the exact opposite for the rest of the games in which the first half is quite phenomenal and the second half kind of let the steam out. And so that's kind of the goal, is to have a complete game each and every single time we get out there on the pitch. And that's really our goal for this week against Chicago is, you know, they're coming in 1-3. They have a super talented roster, arguably one of the most talented in the MLR. And they're 1-3. They find themselves toward the bottom of the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference. So, being a conference opponent, it's one that you really want to come out and get that distance on them. Because when it comes to playoff time, the difference of a couple table points can be the difference of making the playoffs or not. So, really, just playing a complete game, all 80 minutes, full foot on the gas, no stopping. And whatever the outcome is, what, you know, how many other points we end up scoring, you know, we can't just let up and say, oh, you know, we're a comfortable lead.
I always feel that when, you know, bye weeks come up in football, one of the first things coaches or even media always look at is health. How healthy are you guys through four games?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Just like football, there's always going to be some bumps and bruises throughout the year, and that's one that it really came at a good time in which we it's perfect because we had not just four games, but we had our whole entire preseason, which we had an additional two preseason games, and then an additional three preseason weeks that we were going hard to try to get our bodies back up into full game shape. So it's been a long stretch of about 8 or 9 weeks that these bodies have been taking hits almost every single day. The bye week came at a good time in which it allows the players to kind of get that rest that they need, you know, something that's been bothering them, they've been playing through, getting the ability to put some ice on it and give it 2 days before you go back out there and run on it has been very big. And we look to kind of get those guys back in that have had those bumps and bruises. Maybe they'll miss a week, but they should be back pretty soon.
Mm. How about Chicago? What kind of team we got?
Chicago, I think going into the season, I don't think there's many people that would disagree with this observation. They have the best team on paper, and they've kind of underperformed at that. They have multiple players who play for the USA national team. They have multiple they have the former MLR back of the year, Billy Meek. They have people that have won MLR championships on their roster. They just have a plethora of talent, and it's one that they haven't really performed at the level that everybody expected them. And I don't think it's one that you can kind of see the record at 1-3 and say, oh, this is a game we should be winning. I think it's the opposite. It's an easy one to get fall into the trap, because any day they can bring their individual play and really change the game.
What do you think will be the key when you face a team like this? Like, is it just getting off to a good start in terms of, you know, a bye week in something of that nature? Or is that something you try to do in training and in practice?
Yeah. I think it's a combination of things. Just like any other sport, obviously taking care of the ball is first and foremost, making sure we minimize turnovers, minimize any mistakes, and then second, come out and show the energy. You know, we're coming off a week that we had off. The guys still were doing plenty of things to keep maintenance, but we're the team that didn't play last week, so we should be the one that comes in full energy, ready to go, and kind of smacks them in the mouth first and lets them kind of deal with the repercussions of not being ready for the game.
Nick Calling, as always, man, appreciate the time you give us on Mondays to let us know what's going on with the NOLA goal. Then, of course, this week, home game against Chicago. What time is that kickoff, sir, on Saturday?
3 p.m., Goldmine, coming on airline.
Easy enough to go do that. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, Gus.
Yep, for sure. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation if you like so. Over on the Ruderman Can guest and caller hotline, 800-998-1003. Don't forget to go check them out, rudermancan.com, 262-8222. If you can't remember the number, rudermancan.com. And hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing over on the Gulf Coast, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. NoWakeOutfitters.com, the way to check them out online. We have an open segment coming up here before Rafael Esparza joins us at 1:15. At 1:30, Jack Benjamin will give us a take not only on the women's games tonight, their Final Four, South Carolina's advanced as well, but also the men's Final Four, NC State's remarkable run. I know the Graf's probably not too happy with Mrs. Graf, with Duke coming up short yesterday, but man, NC State's run's been something else. I tell you what, the other game is going to be pretty good. Alabama, UConn's going to be solid, and then Purdue, of course, being able to do what they had to do and move on for the men's Final Four. Roy, thank you for giving us a call here in the Sports Hangover. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you feel?
Doing well.
Good. How you like the game?
Which game?
Boston versus the Pelicans.
It was nice.
Game I'm talking about.
It was fine. Yeah. I'm not going to, get over, We're exasperated over it. I mean, Boston's best team in the NBA. I mean, I didn't see anything I didn't know already, Roy.
Yeah, so I mean, we actually have that team playing and stuff like that. I give the Pelicans up until the most likely to the they'll make the semifinal. I know that for sure.
Really, you think they'll win a series?
Oh yeah, they'll definitely win a series. Oh, there's no doubt.
One of the things that I look at too, and especially why I look at that game on Saturday, man, Boston just has there's no break or relief when healthy, right? I mean, you saw what Porzingis added to it this year. You saw what Jrue Holiday added to them this year as well. You know, I mean, the guy that people get, who's that white, that right guy that, like, knocks down the three there towards the end of the first half, which I thought was huge. Willie Green. Yeah, I mean, was sitting there, and I'm like, man, that guy just absolutely crushed it and gave them the lead in a half that you would have been so excited about if the Pels would have just been able to hold on to that. And 11 points in the third, man. I think what Drew's brought to that team is something that I don't know if enough teams in the NBA give people credit on, huh?
Yeah, he's a good defensive player. When we lost Marcus, I didn't know who's going to really fill that spot.
Right.
Because Marcus was like the heart and soul of that team. So that was like a void we need to fill. And Drew, he's filling it perfectly. I mean, he doesn't score a lot, but his defensive play helps out a lot. Helps out a lot. I mean, he was a good defensive player when he played for the Pelicans and when he played for Milwaukee. So he's a real good defensive player. I mean, I always liked Drew. And I see his. I mean, I see it in the finals, but, I mean, the West is so tight, you don't know. I mean, OKC surprised me. Minnesota is pretty much up and down all the time.
Right.
But to me, I think the Pelicans have a chance. They have a 50-50 shot to go into the Western Conference Finals.
Really? Because Tim Legler, I don't know if you heard this. This is always remarkable. It's what he had to say.
I said, I don't know how long ago it was, the Lakers weren't going to do something like they did last year. They couldn't replicate that run because of the landmines that are in the Western Conference. It's just different. But at the time I said that, Phoenix didn't look like this. The Clippers didn't look like this, 500 for a six-week stretch. Right. Carl Anthony Towns wasn't hurt. Like, there's a lot of things that have happened in the meantime that now you look at the Lakers and say, if they get a particular matchup in the first round, and by that I mean really avoid Denver. That's really what it comes to. If you can avoid Denver in a seven-game series to start off, assuming they escape the play-in, I think a lot of people would pick the Lakers to beat either Oklahoma City or Minnesota if they get one of those two teams in a seven-game series.
There it is, Roy. Lakers-Celtics NBA Finals.
See, the thing about LeBron, his eight, for the time, is catching up with him. You can see it. He's fighting it. He's fighting it real, real hard. He's fighting it hard. I mean, he sits out. He missed probably, like, I guess what, probably like 10, 15 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as Thomas catching that one, my scare for the Boston is Denver. Because we played Denver twice. They beat us twice. So that's my scare. And then, like, we played Denver. It's going to be a good series. But the only team I see that could go 50-50 chance to go to the Western Conference Finals, it could be the Pelicans in Denver. It could be Minnesota. It's a toss up. Because you don't know. There's nobody really running away with it in the Western Conference. Nobody, really. I mean, you got in the East Conference, you got us, and then you got like Milwaukee, which is like 15 games behind.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then the only problem with us is like we just don't know how to close games because when we lost Atlanta back to back, and then we was up by 20 twice. So when I saw the game was beating Pelicans, I'm like, man, I hope Pelicans gonna come back and try to win this game because that's our weak link. We have a habit of just taking the foot off the pedal. But man, when I watched the game, Zion was good. He was real good. I mean, I don't know when you have a player. I don't know when he's gonna come back.
There he is, Roy, Miami Dolphins super fan and also Boston Celtic fan and Yankee fan, right? Did I cover it?
Yeah,
all?
Last third looks good.
There it is.
Yeah, last third looks good.
All right, Roy. Enjoy the rest of your week, sir.
All right, man.
800-998-1003. Open segment. We come back on the Ruderman Can Hotline. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.